This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the LPGA Chevron Championship. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's play dream versus dream. What would be at 42, and I actually just submitted this question to Cody Stutz and Will Kunkel of Fox. They're gonna do some TV and talk about the draft. What do you think a dream scenario at 42 looks like for D'Amico Ryans from the defensive point of view, and what does it look like for Bobby Slowick from the offensive point of view?
If they can get... Let's say if they can get Darius Robinson, the defensive tackle out of, or defensive lineman, because he's got some, as Nick Caserio would call it, positional flexibility. Another one of his terms. Darius Robinson, let's say with that first pick, because I doubt he's there available to you with that second pick that you got in the second round. So him first.
That's D'Amico's dream.
That's D'Amico's dream.
What's Bobby's dream?
But then Bobby's dream is that they're still able to get Keon Coleman at the end of that draft. Or, I'm sorry, at the end of that round.
Okay.
With the second pick in that round, if I can speak correctly. Okay. The second pick in that round.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what would his dream be at 42?
His dream at 42? Ooh. Bobby's dream at 42. It's got to be...
Like Adonai Mitchell slides or
it's
something?
It's got to be Adonai Mitchell. I wonder how intrigued...
McConkey?
I also wonder how much... intrigue they do have in Xavier Worthy. I wouldn't draft him there.
Yeah.
But he does have an element to him, a quality to him that is specific.
You don't think
special.
Bobby would want to run reverses with Xavier Worthy?
You said,
wait, it might be Xavier Worthy because he likes reverses so much.
You said ideal. What was the exact word you used?
Dream scenario.
Yeah, that's it. Dream scenario has got to be Xavier Worthy.
They got Stephon Diggs, so that makes it a little bit interesting on the offensive point of view. Speaking of which, the three most prominent faces during his time with his former squad, the Buffalo Bills, they spoke. Let's start with the guy who threw him passes for a few years, Josh Allen. Josh Allen, what's life without Diggs like?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard to part ways with a guy that's been very instrumental in our success here over the last 4 years. And again, I can't thank him enough for when he came in and how hard he worked and what he taught me along the years. And obviously, I wish we can keep everybody. We've made a lot of changes this offseason, lost a lot of veteran leadership, Steph being one of them. I guess that's the nature of the business. And going into year 7 now, it's just kind of is what it is. You know, I don't get paid to make changes on the team. I get paid to be the best quarterback that I can be and try to lead the guys on this team.
Have you spoke with Steph since the move was made?
Yeah, I shared a text with him and got one back and just thanking him for everything that he did for me and always have a spot in my heart for him. And I'll always love that guy like a brother and, you know, wish him nothing but the best.
You know what's misleading about that, though?
You are paid to make decisions as the quarterback. Like
yeah.
Saying I'm not paid. Yeah, you should have an opinion.
That's kind of a cop-out, isn't it? Because maybe you're not paid specifically to make the decisions.
Yeah.
But when you are paid to be a quarterback of Josh Allen's caliber, you do have influence on the decisions that the people are paid to make them.
Yeah.
Like you have influence on them more than likely or more likely than not. So like it is kind of odd to lump all of their loss of veteran leadership into the same basket, because I don't think the reasons why Stephon Diggs is no longer there are the same reasons why, say, Jordan Poyer is no longer there. You know, you lost some veteran leadership, but it ain't all created equal. It ain't all the same. And you do carry more weight as the best player on the team, as the franchise quarterback. You do carry more weight in the decisions.
Pretty damn team-friendly contract, too.
Yeah. You talking about Diggs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The guaranteed money was gone, so.
Does anybody think, can anybody say with a straight face or with any, like, integrity that Stephon Diggs is not there because of money?
Well, hold that thought, okay, because in a few minutes you're probably going to
get the answer.
Really start to question it. Here's Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Bills. Hey, Sean, we don't need to compare this to the World Trade Center or anything. Let's just stick to ball, please. What is life without Stephon Diggs like?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? Steph's a great player. Really enjoyed our time together. Won a lot of games, and he was a huge factor in winning those games. I think we'll miss him. You never replace a player like Steph Diggs, and we wish him well, Steph and his family. So hard to move on from a player like that. And now we go back to, looking at our roster and excited for the opportunity that we have in that room for guys to step up.
All right. Sounds great, Coach.
I wish they would choose their words more carefully, or maybe I shouldn't parse them out so critically, but they both said, we just heard from Josh Allen and then Sean McDermott, right? Both dudes said it was hard to get rid of the dude.
Yeah.
Why'd they do it? They didn't have to. So if it's so hard.
Reached a point, I guess.
Well, exactly. So, I mean, but, I don't think it was that hard. I think they wanted him gone.
The general manager who made this decision, a lot of success recently, but they're kind of in a different situation where they're having to, instead of being aggressive and bringing in players, they're kind of having to make what they call tough decisions and say goodbye to players, whether you believe them or not. Here's Brandon Bean, the GM of the Buffalo Bills. Here is his explanation of whether or not the dynamic, well-documented dynamic between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen factored into the decision that was made to send him here to Houston. Take it away, Mr. Bean.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that between me and Josh. I get the question, but I think that's best for our conversation to keep that in. Josh understands that sometimes I'm calling him, take Steph out with decisions, you know, whether it's calling him the year we signed Mitch when he didn't really know Mitch and, you know, hey, probably won't be able to bring Matt Barkley back. Like, you know, things like that. People he's formed a relationship with, obviously has a relationship with Steph. Josh is really mature and understands that sometimes I'm calling him about things to say, how do you see it? Sometimes I'm calling him just to say, hey, this is where we're at. I don't want you to be blindsided, things like that. I'm not really going to weigh into where the conversation with Steph. I just think it needs to be kept between me and Josh just out of respect.
All right, so bottom line is they made the call. If you called him about Matt Barkley and Mitch Trubisky, then you called him about his top receiver and an all-pro for the last few years. So the conversation definitely happened. I don't blame him for not wanting to say what was said, but you're telling me, hey, we got to let Matt Barkley go, Josh. We just got to run this by you. And then he just gets an alert on ESPN that Diggs is gone. Come on, man.
Well, you can also read between the lines here. He says that there are, whether it's me calling him to see, hey, what do you think, asking for his input, or just to notify him, hey, this is where we are, this is what we're doing. That's what he said, right? Okay, well, which one was this? Which one was the statement? Obviously, he's not going to tell us. He just said that. He's not going to tell us. But him not telling us, okay, not one to fall on the sword and say, hey, I'm the one that wanted to get rid of Stephon Diggs, or I made this decision as the GM, and he could have said that. Hey, I just had to let Josh know this is where we are. But none of us are under under some kind of facade that they had to get rid of Stephon Diggs for any kind of, like, financial reasons or because he's not good anymore. Like, none of that. So,
nah, they'd done enough financially.
Yeah. So it only, like, process of elimination, read between the lines here, him not wanting to comment on it, it's clearly the other one of not, hey, here's where we are, but, hey, what do you think?
So that's the point of view from Stephon Diggs' former team. Jacksonville, they're getting ready for the draft. Trent Baalke, he's had the number one pick a couple times in the last few years. One time he took Trevor Lawrence, other time he passed on Aiden Hutchinson. And then yesterday, leading up to this draft, he farted in the middle of a sentence.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Figgy, yo. Just hit it. Yo. We will hear this again in about 10 minutes. Hit it.
Oh, no. This sounds like a slime ball nomination.
Slime me.
Now, will this be enough to take down handicap parking Brandon Scott or Greg Doyle or curbside Parker myself? That is TBD, but he will be making an appearance in the Slime Off, which you hear every Friday, 1:20, right here on Sports Radio 610.
What would you be more embarrassed by if you were guilty of it? Passing on Aiden Hutchinson for Trevon Walker or farting in front of a room full of people on camera, on microphone for everybody to hear and record and see again and play on the radio in big cities like this?
Well, if they would have drafted Aiden Hutchinson, hell, they might have won a Super Bowl at this point. You don't know how much of an impact that is. So he could go,
so
he
that
could
one's
stay
worse.
Farting. Yeah, you could do the other one.
Know, fair enough. Fair
yeah,
enough.
You wet the bed against the Titans at the end of the year and crap away the division, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
This is farting a pile just on. Doesn't, it's yeah. not as,
Yeah, fair enough.
Not as welcome.
Yeah.
I thought this was really well said by Bill Belichick. I think it's useful information from Belichick, who, by the way, is going to do the draft cast with Pat McAfee when ESPN covers the draft. Bill Belichick said this when talking about what Nick Caserio, his former right-hand man, describes as silly season during the draft. This is Bill Belichick's quote. He says accurate draft information doesn't leak from teams until about 12 hours before the draft. Most of the information this time of the year comes from agents and is total BS. So that's what Nick Caserio is, or Bill Belichick is saying. And I find that interesting because that was about the time, 12 hours before the draft, when we started hearing this C.J. Stroud stuff. And the C.J. Stroud betting odds went down to like -500.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it. It as opposed to like silly season, actual time. So 7 a.m. on next Thursday is when the information, we hear the information, and you really put a lot into it. I like that.
Yeah, silly season is just more so about feeding the beast, and we all know what the beast is. It is our thirst, and I'm not separating myself from this, certainly not separating you from this, Landry. Our collective thirst for NFL content,
discussions.
NFL discussions, conversations to have. And so we've got to have the silly season, some of the leaks that are nonsense, that are BS, the mock drafts that are, some of them more work is put into them than others, let's just say. Like some mock drafts have a little bit more oomph and juice to them than others. And while, you know, you'll find out plenty of them that are just throwing something against the wall to see if it sticks, but all of it ultimately is to serve this desire, this feeling, this need to have these NFL conversations. So it all kind of comes from the same place, even if it's more valid the closer you get up to it.
Going around the league live at the Chevron Championship right here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. So Jaden Daniels was reported as a clear favorite to go second overall.
Yeah.
He and Drake May now have the exact same betting odds on both DraftKings and FanDuel. Man, I feel like these are the most manipulated betting lines that there is, where they're trying to get people to bet on Drake May when they know that it's Daniels and vice versa. I don't even know how you balance these types of things. But these are the crazy ones, and this is where my mind went. So we've heard about NBA players getting kicked out of the league for gambling. We hear about the NFL just reinstated five guys who gambled. How would you not, if you're a GM, like get in on this? Like this would be even more tempting, or someone who even knows a GM.
That's what I'm saying.
To get in on this.
Round
but you
got to
sprinkle a little bit. You don't want to sprinkle like, I mean, you don't want to bet like, if you know what the deal is going to be and you know that Washington is going to take Drake May, let's say, you're not going to put, you shouldn't put like $30,000 on it. You should sprinkle a G on it.
I told you how I heard from, during one of the breaks, I heard from one of my close high school buddies, and we don't talk as much these days.
I can tell.
Because life, He noticed that I was on the radio, hit me up, and was like, man,
must be tight.
I heard you on the radio. I was like, that's my man's from back in the day. That's the person that you go find, though. Somebody that you know from around the way from back in the day that you trust, but y'all not really as connected anymore these days. People wouldn't necessarily put that link right there. You go find you somebody like that that don't even really know what you got going on and say, hey, go on, put this, go on, drop this, and break me off a little piece of it.
So the NFL nugs from the draft in the top five right now. These are the top headlines when it comes to potential movement. So this is a report I'm always interested by at this. So the Pats are open to trading pick 3. Okay. The Chargers want a lucrative offer for pick 5. Okay. Do you think, all right, does it seem like Jim Harbaugh likes J.J. McCarthy? Like, have you ever seen a coach that's just that fascinated with someone?
Jim Harbaugh is also in his own category and species of human.
Follow me on this.
No,
but does it not seem like he absolutely loves J.J. McCarthy?
It 100%
like
does.
Like, loves J.J. McCarthy.
Yes, I'm afraid of what you're getting at.
So do you think that if... No. Herbert's his quarterback. He doesn't love him that much.
Okay.
He doesn't love him that much.
I'm back now.
No. Okay. That would be stupid.
I was concerned. Okay.
No, he doesn't love him that much.
All right.
He wants to win football games.
Okay.
But very confused. What if Jim Harbaugh got a phone call from a team and he knew or thought that it was like the worst organization in the world?
Uh-huh.
He hates the coach. He wouldn't wish anyone having to play for it. It's a terrible situation. It's going to crush the soul of whoever goes there, but it's a hell of an offer for the Chargers. And he knows that they want to draft J.J. McCarthy. Do you think Jim Harbaugh at least hesitates? I'm not saying he doesn't do it because winning is everything, but do you think he at least, with how much he loves J.J. McCarthy, he's just like, man, I love this kid so much. I don't want to send him to this. And I don't even know if there's an organization that's like that, that right now. But like, let's say that he felt there was one and he felt that way. Do you think he would take the second best offer instead of doing that because he loves J.J. McCarthy so much?
I think it's in play, but I'll just say, and maybe this is obvious, if I'm the Chargers, I'm really upset about that. I mean, hey, man, look, if you believe, this is what I'm telling them. Hey, look, man, Harbaugh, if you believe in J.J. as much as you say you do, if you think he is as dope as you say he is, he should be an organizational changer. He should be able to change the direction of wherever he go. You are hired to serve us now, not Michigan. You left Michigan. You're here now. J.J. McCarthy's not even in Michigan anymore. This doesn't even serve Michigan. Let him sink or swim on his own. He'll be just fine. He'll be paid handsomely for wherever he goes. Don't do it.
Figgy, do you think that Jim Harbaugh would take the second best offer if it meant sending J.J. McCarthy to a better situation?
100%. Especially if it's not in the division or in the AFC, I can see him doing that.
He's that crazy. And he loves him that much.
That's a weird cat.
And his parents love Michigan, too. And J.J. McCarthy provided his whole family with like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It was like one of the faces of it.
Yeah. No,
I could see him passing up on a second-round pick to send him to Detroit for like a fourth-round pick.
Yeah. Football is a protective game, and it's a lot of arrogance. I could see him having both the hubris and the arrogance to say, hey, I can overcome getting a lesser deal, and I'm going to do this for my guy.
I feel like the crazy thing about Harbaugh, though, and the cheating thing was stupid. I don't even like that. I don't even know. But he does seem like he has, like, some ethics, kind of, like, for like, loyalty and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of coaches, you got to be somewhat cold-hearted, but a lot of these coaches do just, they don't give a damn about the person or whatever. It does feel like he has, like, some sort of, especially when it comes to, like, Michigan and all that.
Oh, well, his players, I would say, even more specifically.
You ever hear someone talk, remember that the new head coach, Sharon, is it Harris?
Sharon, the way he cried on camera.
I love you, man.
Man, but even
like he died
before that, you know what sticks
he's
out
like,
to
right,
me?
He's like in the hotel across the street.
Yeah.
And y'all practiced together yesterday.
Embarrassed himself, man. People were clowning him for that.
No, but people were praising him for that.
Oh, man. I saw people that were like, man, it is not Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh did not die.
I have to love you, coach.
Pick it up, dog. You don't look like a head coach yourself crying like that. You don't look like an alpha male. He didn't like alpha male.
Clint Sterner?
Well, hey, that was my Clint Sterner.
Do that again.
You don't look like an alpha male.
It was a bad scheme.
Sorry, hey, if that wasn't good, Clint, sorry, man. That's my best try.
Big, all right, big news, by the way. This is a headline for Mary Kay Cabot as we conclude around the NFL. Deshaun Watson's throwing 40 yards. I've heard that he was throwing full speed, and then I see the headline, he's throwing 40 yards. So, obviously,
is
he's not throwing full
speed. Mound? Or are you throwing off flat
surface? What is this?
Here?
Did he just play long toss? I can't even follow this. What are we doing here?
What's the closest high school to here? The Woodlands High School? What?
Oh, JV guy's throwing 40.
Oak Ridge?
JV's
I don't know.
Throwing 40.
Whatever it is the closest high school to this building? To this golf course right
JV
now?
JV backup's throwing 40.
They throw 40?
Yeah, JV backup.
Okay. So I don't know why that's being reported or why that is being specified, but it's odd.
Coming up, it's time for the slime. B. Scott parks in handicap spots. I park in curbside spots. And Greg Doyle is a creep. But is that enough to take down the farting GM? Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the LPGA Chevron Championship. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right. This one's going to be competitive. It is time for the slime.
It's time for the weekly slime.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Slime season.
The biggest displays of weekly slimery.
Man, you going to hell on scholarship.
As decided by your favorite H-Town hosts and the loopholes.
Man, look at this slime ball.
This is the Friday Slime Off on Sports Radio 610.
All right. Contestant number one. Brandon Scott. He's been in for John Lopez all week. By the way, honorable mention is J-Lo, but he's not here to speak for himself, and he probably wouldn't have won. But honorable mention is J-Lo for, after the Masters, tagging me and Figgy and saying how good his golf bets were and mentioning two bets that were never presented to the audience. I don't know where the Tiger Woods thing came from. I think there was like a mention, but it never happened. And then there was a Scheffler in the top 10. He had Scheffler winning, which if you bet $25 on each bet, you would have come away with $25. But the other three did not hit. So yeah. I don't know where these other three came from.
And if you want to compare notes, you can go check out Lopez's tweet. And then we do have that segment.
He had you post the picks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. We've got that
so
segment.
So he had you post the
on
picks.
On YouTube, yes.
He had you post the picks, the Masters picks.
Yep.
And then claim three, including two that he never mentioned in the actual post that he had put up there.
All I'm saying is there's no editing in the video.
No,
I took the full segment.
Here's your four bets. Yes,
from essentially from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So y'all be the judge. Yeah,
that's an honorable mention, but it's not as bad as B. Scott, who you can explain yourself. That's the moral of the story. But B. Scott on Tuesday parked in a handicapped spot at work.
Yeah, and it's not just any handicapped spot, but it was the 10th handicapped spot after passing up nine that were already empty. So I would like to qualify here that, yes, it's technically illegal. Yeah, it might even be immoral, depending on how much fake moral outrage you got tied to you. To park in a handicapped spot.
Yeah, it wasn't one of two, and it wasn't even the only ones because there's some downstairs.
Yeah, that part too.
There's 10 more downstairs.
There's 10 more downstairs, and I didn't even check to see if those were available.
And oh, by the way, a lot of the office, there's a lot less office presence as well at the station.
You know this, Landry, I'm not lying. We've got handicapped spots, which we understand what that's for. We also have spots that are reserved on almost every level of the garage from a yesteryear. From a time when the office was full and more people worked there and they were actually reserved spots. they don't exist anymore either. That's probably the ones I should park in. But I look at those that say reserve, they don't nobody park in. I look at all of the handicapped spots that nobody parks in. I passed up 9 to get to the 10th, and then there were 2 or 3 more after me. So I left available a good, 10 to 12 handicapped parking spots available. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how slimeball-y I really feel.
Okay. Well, I don't know, you parked in a handicap.
I did do it, though.
There you go. So that's contestant number one. Now, I don't want to throw stones in my glass house because this is not – this is not about lack of anything. This is my new lifestyle. From now on, anytime I go to a restaurant, if they have over 5 curbside spots, I'm parking in 5 or up. If there's something that says curb spot 5 all the way through 10, 15, that is my parking spot because I feel like it is a lack of adjustment to normal life. Maybe during the COVID days I could see all this. But now we're just wasting parking. And, I mean, you go up to these restaurants, the packed restaurant, it's full, except there's these front row parking spots for curbside. Furthermore, when I order curbside, man, I'm just going to walk in and get it. I'll park in the spot, and then I'll walk in and get it. It's a pain. The employee's having to come out. It's not as smooth of a process. So my new lifestyle, and all I'm doing is taking spots from lazy people and most likely lazy spots. My new lifestyle, I'm parking in curbside spots from now on because y'all got too many damn of them.
Yeah, I'm assuming that the reason why they didn't make this adjustment is because...
Brother, they got a curbside spot at Long John Silver's.
Dude, I was at McDonald's and
I was driving up here. At McDonald's, I could see, but I was driving up here, Fig, and I took the exit just to go look at this Long John Silver's right there. First of all, you don't see them very much, so it's almost like seeing an extinct animal.
Salute the Long John Silver's, man.
Second of all, man, I might eat there on the way home. Second of all, probably not dieting. But anyways, you never know. Might cheat.
She did.
Anyways, they had curbside spots at Long John Silver's. Give me a break,
they got them at Pluckers. What's the whole point of going to Pluckers unless you're going to do...
I see people ordering takeout at Pluckers all the time.
I mean, I can see takeout, but like I'm just gonna put. If I drive up to Pluckers, I want to go in and sit at the bar.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I could see even I could see even DoorDash and Pluckers.
This is a Pluckers friendly show, right?
Oh
here.
Man,
I don't think you can get a 3-piece of folks that enjoy Pluckers more than us. Even if we're not eating wings.
Yeah, I'll eat the wings, the salad, the sandwiches,
and I'll eat the cheesesteak.
The Holy Mac.
Oh, Holy Mac goes in. Oh yeah, and you got the Pluckers Club. Free thing.
Yeah.
Man, I was just there Wednesday.
What was the free thing this week?
It had some type of, it was like their
Twinkie?
Homemade. No, and there was their homemade chips. And it was like homemade chips.
Yeah, looking at it right now. Free blue cheese, potato chips.
Yep, so I switched the blue cheese to ranch.
Oh.
Amazing.
Whoa, what a power move. Yeah. I've never even done that. That's power right there.
Shout out to the waiter. His name was T. And he recommended that.
My favorite waiter up there is Destiny. Destiny is she's a crazy girl, but she got me recommended on putting the dry rub underneath the hot lemon pepper, and she says you put the dry rub on first, and then you put the sauce on, and she said that that was the go to. My God, it was. And I tell every time I go there, I order it. That they don't get it as down as she does, but she runs it up there
You know what? Now that we've gone on this tangent about Pluckers. I got one more confession, Figgy. Go ahead and let me do this real quick.
Watch this.
These are my confessions. I hope the sales staff is listening because I love them. They know I love them to death. But I did almost step out of my lane, outside of my purview, outside of my job description a few days ago when I was at Pluckers. Because y'all are talking about y'all's favorite waitresses.
Dude, how do I not have a Pluckers deal?
But
people think I like have it. I don't get a penny from them.
Well, here's the thing. This is why I'm stepping in here too.
Welcome to my world.
Because I know the manager McGill at the Stafford one. It's my guy at the Stafford location. And all we got to really do is just have a conversation. I'm just going to put it to you that way.
Okay.
I know.
And
all
you know
I'm saying is it doesn't even – I'm not a sales professional, but it does not take a lot of work to make this happen. I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm not trying to cause no friction, no smoke. But I'm just making a point
here.
All I do
is talk about Pluckers.
I had to refrain from making a sale because it's not my job.
You know what's
even worse? I'm with Bill O'Brien. It's not my job.
You know what's even worse? First of all, you get the Pluckers Club. You're a lifetime member, and it's the best deal that you can make. You get something free every time.
Yep.
You know what they're doing up 45 at 105 through the fam?
Man, I don't even want to. Do I want to know?
What they doing?
Am I going to get jealous?
They have every single show is at a different Pluckers around the Metroplex. Man, they have so they have their morning show at one, they have their night show at another, they have their mid at another, and I can't even get a Pluckers deal. What are we doing, man? What are we doing, man? I see y'all every Wednesday eating pizza and stuff. Where y'all at?
Hey, I am not lying. This is the most down. This very moment right here is the most down I've ever felt on this show.
Yeah,
like that. That is.
I'm depressed. I probably said too much, but man, how I don't have a Pluckers deal is beyond me. That's insane.
I've never felt this way doing this show right now. Come on, man.
It's very depressing. They follow me. They follow me on Twitter. They post. Like, do I have to go up there and say, "Hey, Miguel, let's get the deal done"?
You might.
I mean,
yes.
Goodness gracious.
Hey, yes.
Hey, y'all work with our other station, but you know what? Oh, cool.
And I didn't know. I didn't think we were one of those radio stations where the host had to do sales. You know what? Let's move on.
Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star. Greg Doyle, this was really awkward with Caitlin Clark.
Hi. Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So.
All right, well, yeah, he had to apologize. Now a bunch of creepy stuff from his past is coming through. That's going to be hard to top. Although Trent Baalke of the Jacksonville Jaguars, when you're talking about the draft and you're talking about what you want to do and you let one rip, you're a strong contestant in the slime off.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
All right. Yes. Where are you at, B. Scott?
Strong contender.
Where are you at?
I hate to do this, man, because I felt like Greg Doyle's got some slime balliness to him anyway. I did feel like this was just more clumsy. He earned the slime ball with all of the follow-up. That's where he earned the slime ball to me, with the follow-up self-involved column about it and all the social media posts. To me, that was just as bad as the original offense. At least Trent Baalke said, excuse me. I left about 9 to 10 handicap parking spots available for people. You actually make a valid point about this lack of adjustment to post-COVID life. Man, I got to go with Greg Doyle, man.
All right, so you got Greg Doyle.
You're kind of being creepy with a premier female athlete. You should know better than
and
that.
And the more you hear about him, the more he's definitely got a creepy history.
Yeah.
On the text line, by the way, before we vote, wrap up the vote, someone's asking for that Pluckers hack again. So you tell them, you don't want them to bring it out to the side. You tell them to put the spicy ranch dry rub on the wings, and then put the spicy lemon pepper on top of that if you like some kick. If you just want the regular ranch, just put the regular ranch. But don't let them do the rub and then bring the sauce outside on the side. Have them toss it in the dry rub and then the spicy. You can even do it with chili lime or whatever, but just get the dry rub on the wing first and tell them to toss the dry rub in the sauce. It's magic. My mouth's watering just thinking about it.
And they do a good job of asking you how you want them tossed. You know what I mean? So, that opportunity should be for, like,
if Stoots his fries in dry ranch.
Nah, that's actually pretty good. He got me hip to that. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Figgy's mind was blown when he saw it. I guess he's adjusted that life too.
I thought about that. You and Stoots got some pretty good food hats. I got to give y'all that credit. But you know, the A32 asked, hey, what's Pluckers? Is it new? Never heard of it?
It should be my endorsement.
I was going to say, we would tell you more.
That got to be a troll.
It should be me and Figgy's endorsement, man. Honestly, I mean, this should be like a team thing that we split. Honestly, it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's real crazy.
Yeah,
but anyway, Figgy, who are you voting for? You voting for Greg Doyle? You voting for B. Scott?
100% 100% Greg, man. That was nasty work. What he was doing, man. That was nasty. However way you want to put it, you ain't got to make a moment out of everything, man. That was a little creepy.
All right, so he wins. I will agree with that. As well, it is in the loop. We are live out here. Very happy to be live out here at the Women's Masters, first major of the year, the LPGA Chevron Championship, live at the club at Carlton Woods. Got a good view out here. Probably make it up this weekend. This is a really fun time. If you want to do so as well, tickets start at just $35. All you got to do is go to thechevronchampionship.com. And you'll get all the info. A lot of room, very fan-friendly Looks like the Booze Fest picking up a little bit as well. Coming up next, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, Bobby Slowick. What does the disagreement, a potential disagreement with those guys look like? And have recent activities involving the Houston Texans kind of reminded us of the past as well as the future? That's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you, Figgy.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the LPGA Chevron Championship. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Where's Bobby, man? Bobby Slowick. What does Bobby Slowick want? Is Bobby Slowick going to get greedy? The offense last year, it really wasn't as good as you may think. They struggled to consistently score. They struggled often on third down. They struggled to put the ball in the end zone. And despite the optimism, they struggled. A lot of it had to do with injuries, but there were a number of factors. And despite it all, Bobby Slowick, there were ups and downs. There were certain situations where you might get frustrated with him. But Bobby Slowick did a hell of a job to the degree where teams were interested in picking his brain and at least entertaining the possibility of him being the head coach. Yeah. We talk about the dynamic between D'Amico and Caserio and all that. How does Bobby Slowick's role change after 1 year of success when it comes to his role in the draft?
It's something to kind of keep an eye on, and I'm not sure if we can, you know, give a definitive answer from where we sit right now, but it does stand to reason that he would have a lot more equity build up, a lot more cachet, a lot more say-so than he did a year ago. I think they thought fairly highly of him when they brought him in. I don't think they would have hired him if they didn't have a certain level of respect for him. But given how things went last year, I mean, you're right about overall the offense, especially on third down, scoring points. Like, it was not a great offense. It was very good at times.
And in fairness, I do think a lot had to do with personnel, too.
Yeah, well,
and that's it.
It was the personnel was in some ways flawed, but the reason why I think what masked it was that you had some breakout stars within it, namely CJ, but then also even Tank and Nico. And, you know, Dalton Schultz in a one-year deal. Like, you had some breakout moments, breakout stars that allowed to kind of put, I won't say lipstick on a pig because it wasn't a bad offense, but allowed to make it a lot better than it was. But I don't take away from what Bobby Slowick was able to do. And he wasn't perfect, per se.
No, he was good. He was real good.
But I thought he was really good. And, you know, when you meet expectations, we talk about the Texans exceeding expectations and surprising people. And a lot of that conversation starts with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. But Bobby Slowick, I think, while a tier below, is especially in terms of, like, weight and importance, because he's not going to be here as long as either one of those other two guys. Let's just be honest about it. But he fits in the mold of, hey, a young, up-and-coming, really good at what he does, but not necessarily – you know, somebody that you thought of before now. You know, he is somewhere along the lines in terms of offensive coordinators, what D'Amico is for young coaches, what C.J. Stroud is specifically for young quarterbacks. I feel like he's a peer in that way.
The other thing about it is there's like a human element with Bobby Slowick where last year it's your first chance to call plays. You're probably just happy to be there. Nobody knows whether you're going to be good at this or not. You're going to get to assess the quarterback. You're kind of a film nerd because he worked at PFF for a few years, so that's kind of like his thing. You came into the game with D'Amico, so there's like a certain level of excitement, certain level of innocence. I don't want to say a lack of confidence, but you're probably not as confident at this point last year as you are this year. And then perhaps when you're sitting around the table, you're giving your feedback, but I don't necessarily know whether you get to the point where you're just pounding the table for a prospect and saying, I want that guy. Now you've been in a situation where you've at least had a taste of reaching the ultimate goal. You interviewed with all these teams. They said no. So you're back to your job that a year ago you were perhaps excited about, but now naturally you might be thinking, damn, you know what? I can't wait till I'm running a team, or I can't wait till I can call the shots. Maybe, maybe not. And you're probably a little bit more confident because you have proven that you know what the hell you were doing, to where if a draft pick comes around, and let's say that, I don't know, like let's say at 42, Adonai Mitchell or someone on offense slides, and D'Amico Ryans is looking at like Kool-Aid McKinstry or Darius Robinson, maybe you're willing to kind of push back a little bit more than you were last year. Or maybe you're not as – your mindset with this role is a little bit different. Now, the other side is maybe you're just so comfortable, and maybe the personnel gets so much better to where you do an even better job. But from like a mental standpoint, I mean, I've seen people where – they interview for other jobs, they don't get it, and then they go back to their job, and it's like, okay, yeah, well, where's this guy been? I mean, this guy hadn't been here for months, and now all of a sudden, I mean, he's not even putting in near the effort that he used to. That is kind of another like angle of Bobby Slowick and what exactly Bobby Slowick thinks.
Well, here's another one. We mentioned him interviewing for other jobs or for head coaching jobs around the league and coming back, so we know he came back. Here's the part that we're kind of leaving out here that I think is significant, though. He didn't just come back. Him and Gerard Johnson didn't just come back to the Texans. It was reported that they got raises, you know, and you could say that that was just because of merit, but both of those guys were also interviewing for elevated jobs, to be elevated, right? So, like, how often do you hear somebody either renegotiating a deal or getting a raise after maybe kind of leveraging the possibility of a promotion elsewhere, and they just come back under the same conditions?
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to get fired. I don't think his authority actually changes, but somewhere within that raise, somewhere within that, hey, I'm interviewing for head coaching jobs, I think there's a conversation, if it even needs to be had. Maybe it doesn't, but if it needs to be had, you know what, I would like to have a little bit more of a voice. I would like for you guys to hear me out a little bit more than you did before. Again, if that was even the case.
And he might have earned it, too. Like, on top of that, you might have earned it.
Well, I think that they said so by not only bringing them back, but giving them the raise. It's like, hey, you brought me back. You gave me the raise. Others thought it necessary to even interview me for a possible promotion. I'm clearly thought of differently now than I was before, so I should be treated accordingly.
Yeah, and you know, give me some offensive weapons, damn it. You know, I mean, I don't want to have to go out there and function with Hutchinson, Mechie, and a banged up Noah Brown. So give me some more depth. Let's not just look at the defense, but we really haven't had a situation yet where, and that was one of the more skeptical things last year when we were having the D'Amico talk. And I think the people against D'Amico Ryans, I think the popular notion was, you need an offensive-minded head coach because you're going to get a quarterback. Like, that was the popular thing. We haven't really dealt with that right now. And it does seem like D'Amico's like one of the new age guys where he's a little bit more open to that area of things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe this is the year where that starts to happen, where you get to 42 or you get to 59 and D'Amico Ryans is just starting to fall in love with defensive guys, because we both think D'Amico's king. Like, we both think D'Amico has the final say and the final word.
It feels pretty safe to say.
Nick Caserio kind of moderates. So, I know D'Amico used the example of, oh, Elijah Mitchell. It's like, okay, but you were a defensive coordinator, and Kyle Shanahan is the king there. You're Kyle Shanahan now. So, Kyle Shanahan might have leaned Elijah Mitchell when you were leaning linebacker. Are you going to do the same thing? What is it like for you? Because I also think this is kind of new for – I know he's we look at him like he's a veteran coach, but I mean, this is all these situations, like at least early on in this process, they're new. Like, it's new for Caserio, it's new for D'Amico, it's new for Slowick, and we don't know how they're going to handle it. We feel like they're going to handle it well because the small sample size we have and the different situation went well, but it's a lot different to be drafting three times in day two trying to fill the holes of a squad than it is, oh, I'm just going to take the quarterback. Oh, I have an extra draft pick. I'm going to trade up for this guy, and you know, I'm gonna do what I did last year on that last play schedule, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Now, for one, I really appreciate the fact that D'Amico Ryans has been able to buck this notion that a defensive coach can't coach a quarterback, or that you're setting up a quarterback to fail or not be able to succeed if you don't bring him in
an offensive coach and marry up the timeline with the coach and the quarterback. Like, I'm so glad that the coach here, being a defensive coach, has been able to
for now,
to, but for at least
for now,
early on, because like you said, we haven't heard much of that. But I do wonder. Like, let me ask you this: I do wonder if, hey, maybe that was the way DeMeco would have handled it at that time if he was a head coach. Like, man, I want some backers.
Yeah.
I want some linebackers. Did he learn a lesson in that? Like, did maybe that's how he would have done it before.
Yeah.
But the whole fact that he would single that specific scenario out in his press conference with us, the introductory press conference as a head coach here in Houston, if that was like a lesson that he learned, something that he would do differently now because that happened as opposed to before. Hey, I want a linebacker. Hey, I want a defensive lineman. But I'm trying to do what's in the best interest of the team, to use a cliche that the Texans have used for years now.
Yeah, and
it could like be a lesson.
Coaches. Yeah, there's a lot of firsts. Hell of a lot of firsts. Yeah. We're live out here at the Chevron Championship, first major of the year for the LPGA Tour. If you want to get out here, tickets start at $35. Kids 17 and under are free, and there's a heck of a lot going on. We're right here posted up, and it's a very, very active event, very fun event. It's going to be here. It's only going to get bigger and bigger. It's going to be here through 2029, so they got that lined up pretty well. Let's go out to the studio, the Greenway Plaza Studios. Let's talk to Clint Sterner, Ron Hughley. Gentlemen, hello.
What's good? You guys enjoying yourselves?
We are, man. It looks like we might, you know, we might have just beat the rain. There's a little bit of clouds here. I'm not a weatherman, but it does look like there might be a little bit of precipitation heading this way. But we've done a good job of avoiding that.
I know I'd be mad if it started raining and I ain't got no cart nearby. I know that. I'd be pretty damn mad. So they need to figure that out.
You ready to run it on
he's
in?
He's kidding. Yeah, he's kidding.
You boys been on the putting green or on that range or anything? Y'all been getting
right
a couple swings in?
Green. Nah, I don't want to look. I don't want to show them up. So I'm just kind of laying low a little bit.
You know, man, get that flat stick out and putt a couple, man. Just see how you're rolling them, bub.
Nah, it ain't gonna be good. Ain't gonna be good. If there ain't any like noisy clowns or obstacles, I ain't picking up no putter, brother. Yeah. You let me get a little roadie and put a little vodka in it, and I'll hit the golf cart track and then the putt putt. But I ain't staying off this.
I hadn't done putt putt in a long time.
Man, it's a lost art, man.
Put them bumpers on it and let's ride.
That
man.
Used to be a solid date option.
Hey, it was the best.
Hey, can I tell y'all?
Isn't that one of those guys? Doesn't Tiger Woods have some kind of like?
Yeah, he's got a nice
steroids?
One. He's got nice advanced one. Yes,
hey,
he does.
Hey, let me tell y'all. Putt putting is as close as I've ever come to swinging a golf stick to actually playing golf.
Did y'all hear him in the first segment?
Putt putt.
Hey, don't even judge that, Ron. Boy, you know what he said earlier and didn't know?
If you ain't showing your blackness,
just wait. Hey,
golf stick.
Hey, B Scott, he didn't know they weren't allowed to use carts.
Man, I thought that was absurd when I found out.
Oh, you mean like on a tour? You thought.
He thought they were allowed to use carts. I said, when have you ever seen Tiger Woods in a cart? Unless it's a car and he's having his wife swing a club at him or something like that.
They rich and pampered otherwise. I didn't see how that was above it, how they were supposed to be above that. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but this is like the ultimate, you know, symbol of class and privilege. I didn't see how they drew the line at a cart. Excuse me. Excuse the hell out of me.
Getting the hell out of here. B-Scott's making a scene now. This is the last second. Guys, I'm going to pass it off to y'all. He said golf stick. How about that? You're listening to KILT-AM, KILT-HD2. The Drive is live, and I'm getting the hell out of here. Get away. I'm done.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.